This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
A number of years ago, in 1999, I went to start a church in my hometown. It did not work, and we stopped it. And it was a hard move for us because we had moved all the way from Texas back to my home state. And when we stopped the church, it impacted me. Now, when we came back to Texas, Joy would often talk to me. She'd say, "Alan, you know, I know we're going to have a church one day. I know you're going to pastor a church one day." And I would stop her. And I said, I really don't want to hear about it. And the reason I said I don't want to hear about it is the fear. I've already failed once, and the fear of failure had become a barrier for me. I didn't want to do it again. I actually looked to see if I could find a church where someone would take me that was already existing, and nobody wanted me at that time. But the idea was, what was stopping me was the fear of failure. It became a wall in my life. Now, I'm going to do a little mini-series for the next couple of weeks on something called The Wall. Getting over, around, or through what's been stopping you. What's a barrier? And I'll use the word we a lot because everybody's got them. There are walls in our life that stop us from moving on to what God's best is for us, stop us from seeing His promises fulfilled in our life, stopping us from seeing our lives have that sense of I'm walking with God. And so there are walls that all of us deal with. Now, I'll just give you a few of them. How about this one? How about fear? Fear is definitely a wall. Fear of failure. Some people have a fear of success. You hear people with fear of commitment. Fear of the risk involved with fear often is a wall for people. And this is why I think the Bible tells us never to judge, because, you know, something that may just scare the daylights out of you does not bother somebody else. And something that bothers you just absolutely is nothing to someone. So everybody's got different things that bug them. You may be this great with relationships, but you're not going to take any risk. Or you may be a huge risk taker, business builder, but man, you're not going to commit to anything because of fear. And so fear can be a definite wall in our lives. There are other walls in our life. The Bible refers to them as weights and sins. Because weights and sins are things that hold us down, that keep us from moving forward. I think of people that have different addictions can be a something that really is bothering them in their life. And you can be addicted to a lot of different things. And so these are things that the Bible says can hold us back. But the idea is they don't have to continue to hold us back. One of the biggest areas that I find in people's lives that is limiting or destructive is thinking. Wrong thoughts. Wrong thoughts that maybe from where how you grew up, maybe thoughts of your parents said, this is the way it's going to be, and you just always thought that was true, and maybe that just has stopped you in life. Or how about just thoughts of destructive thoughts, or I'm no good. Listen, thoughts, if your thinking is wrong on something, it causes your behavior to be wrong. There was a pastor, he was a brand new pastor in rural Kentucky, got a call from the funeral home, a local funeral home out in that county. He says, hey, we got a guy who was homeless and he died. He has no family, no friends, but we're going to bury him in a brand new cemetery. And would you do the service? And the young pastor said, sure. Funeral home director gave him directions. This is before GPS. And he takes off. He's driving around. He gets lost. He can't find any directions. He's driving the rural back roads of Kentucky. And he's thinking, man, he's a man, not going to break the man code, stop and ask for, you know, directions. So he just keeps driving. And finally, he comes up on an area, sees a backhoe. He sees a hole, sees some guys around the grave. He doesn't see a hearse, but he figures, well, I'm an hour late anyway. Hearse is probably gone. So he gets out, and sure enough, there's the vault, and they're around the hole. He said, gentlemen, he said, this is a good thing to do. And so they all got up and stood around the hole, and he began to preach. And he began to preach about there's a brighter day coming. There's a brighter tomorrow, that there's a hope of glory. He said he started preaching. Some of these guys started getting excited. They're like, amen, glory, praise God. Well, that just egged him on even more. So he did a long sermon. He went from Genesis to Revelation. Man, he covered the whole gamut. He just kept going. And they're just standing there with him. Finally, he closed that long service with a prayer. He said, amen, thanked the guys for coming, went back to his car, and he was getting in, taking his coat off to get in his car. He heard one of the guys say, the other one said, I ain't never seen nothing like that. I've been putting in septic tanks for 30 years. Now, a sermon over a septic tank is not a problem. But if your thinking is wrong, and if you think I can never be a good Christian, God really doesn't love me that much, I don't have any kind of future in Him, that can be a problem. And it's our thinking that has to be adjusted. That's why the Bible often tells us, hey, don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world determine how you think. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you hear sermons, when you read your Bible, what do you, you're renewing the mind. Now, let me tell you something that walls are not. When you think of walls, do not think of people. I know some of you are thinking, I'm married to a wall. Bless God, they are a wall. They are stopping me. Listen, I know there are people involved. There's nobody that's perfect. But there is no one that can stand between you and God. There is no one that can stop you. You can have a relationship with God, and no one can get it. It doesn't matter if you're the only one in your family that even acknowledges God. You still can have a close relationship, and you can still follow His plan. People are not your wall. And here's the last one. God is not your wall. He is not your wall. He's your wall buster. He's your wall breaker. He's the one that knocks down walls. He is not your wall. He's not your problem. He's the one that helps you get over the wall. David said it better than anybody. David had a great view of God. He says this in the Psalms, "For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall." So any wall that's been holding you back, it's like, Lord, thank you. You can help me get over this thing. So this morning, let me go back real quick. You say, well, how did you get over the wall to start the church? The Lord was gracious to me. And he spoke to my heart. I had words of encouragement that would come. And as I began to hear God's perspective on it, it gave me the confidence that I could do this. I remember sitting in my chair. I can tell you right where I was sitting in my chair in my bedroom having a devotions, and this the Lord spoke to my heart. Didn't hear a voice, but He just spoke to my heart. It was so real. He said, Alan, I've longed to use you. Longed to use you. I thought, man, those are interesting words. God, I thought you had given up on me because I'd failed. And how many people think because they've made mistakes, because they've done things, that God has given up on them, and God said, oh, no, I got something better for you. This wall needs to come down. Amen. Now, I'm going to go through a passage in the Old Testament that I really like. And these passages are not there just because they give us a great story. They're there because they help us. And it's the story of the children of Israel as they go into the Promised Land, and they're taking over a city called Jericho. Jericho is a big walled city, and a walled city presents a problem because in ancient days, they didn't have the weaponry that we have now. And so these walls were a huge problem to get over or through or around, and they could shoot down from a wall. Wall was a very defensible position. And so here's Joshua and the nation of Israel. They cross over the Jordan. They're getting ready to go into the Promised Land. Here's what God says. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. You hear that story, and you go, that's an interesting story. And I love how it starts off, because we get a feeling that God's perspective is very different from our perspective. You ever notice how God talks? He talks a lot of times in past tense. He looked at Joshua, he said, see, I have given Jericho and its king and all the mighty men of valor into your hand. And Joshua could have looked at it and said, Lord, it's locked up. I don't see how you're doing it. But when God talks, a lot of times you'll notice He talks in past tense. I have already done this, because in His mind, it's done. It's a done deal. And Joshua's looking at that, but Joshua had been accustomed to that. Because Joshua was one of the only ones, when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt and they went in, came right to the edge of the Promised Land, They sent 12 spies in to check out the promised land. When they came back, 10 guys said, "We can't do this. There is no way. Those guys are huge, and the cities are walled. There's no way." And Joshua and Caleb, two guys, stood up and said, "We can do this. God will help us. Let's go get it." And the whole nation listened to the 10, and they cried and they wept, and nobody went in. But Joshua and Caleb, 40 years later, are getting ready to go in. And so when God said, "I've given you the city," Joshua went, "Great. Father, that's your perspective. That's what we're going to go with." But then he gave him an interesting battle plan. You're going to march around the city once. All the warriors march around the city once, had the horns blowing, had the ark, and it looked like that's kind of a ridiculous battle plan. You know, you march around the city once, and march around the city twice, the next day, Tuesday, you march around the city, Wednesday, you march around the city. Don't you know, in Jericho, they're probably starting to laugh at him. By Thursday, they're like, "Hey, you guys going to walk us to death? What, you're going to play the song, we're going to give up?" They're probably laughing, because that doesn't make sense. Keep walking around the city. Keep walking around the city. And then on Sunday, you get to walk around the city 7 times. What a great deal. And so Joshua, they got this plan working, but Joshua was smart. He stayed with God's plan. Can I tell you this? Every step of obedience is a step in the right direction. Every step. You're making steps. Every time they're walking, they're getting closer to an answer. Every time, even though they can't see anything happening, they're getting closer to an answer. And that's what they need to have. But then you see Joshua's last thing that he did. And this was important because God didn't even tell him to did it. To did it. He didn't tell him to did it. This. I've been in North Carolina too long, guys. I'm back. But let's look here in this next verse. Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you shout, then you shall shout." Well, this is unusual. Not only are you walking, you're quiet. So, well, why would Joshua do that? Because Joshua's got a good memory. And he remembered 40 years ago that that's the reason they didn't go in, because 10 guys started running their mouth and started saying, "We can't do it." And it caused the whole people to get discouraged. And the people said, "We can't do it." And they didn't do it. So Joshua said, "Y'all need to shut up. Here's the deal. Ain't nobody talking. For a whole week, no one talking." So, because you know what would have happened. After about 3 days, there'd have been a committee got together, talked to Joshua. "Joshua, we figured out, we got a great idea, man. We're tired of walking. And so tomorrow, why don't we just walk once, blow the trumpet, and let the walls fall, because we don't want to walk anymore." Or they could have been talking to one another. You know, husband come home, man of war come home, his wife was, "Well, how was today? We walked. Anything happen? No. Any walls fall? No. What'd y'all do? Walk. That's a dumb idea." I know it's dumb. It's a dumb idea. And so if they had stayed with that, you know they could have talked themselves out of that. So Joshua said, "Ain't nobody talking. Nobody. Don't say a word until I tell you to shout. And then when I say shout, then you shout." And that's an interesting thing, because he said, "Shout before the walls fell." Shout before. Anybody can shout when the walls are falling. But he said, "Shout, because God's given you the city." So that Sunday came, they walked 7 times, blew the horn. Joshua said, "Shout, because God's given you the city." They shouted and the walls fell. Now, some people go, "That's ridiculous. There is no way that shouting makes the walls fall." Listen, I don't believe it was shouting that made the walls fall. I believe when they obeyed God, I believe there were angels all around those walls. They looked at one another, they heard the shout, and they went, boom, and the walls go down. You say, "Well, I don't believe that." Listen, if God can create this earth we live in, if God can create this universe, if He can do all this stuff, He can knock a wall down. And that wall came down. It just was down. Done. They went in. They took the city. You say, "Well, that's a great story. Does it have anything to do with me?" Absolutely. These stories aren't there just to entertain us. These stories are in the Bible because they give us principles. So we want to apply some of Joshua's principles to your wall. Everybody's got walls. They need to come down. We need to get around them. We need to get over them. So how do we apply Joshua's principles to our wall? Here's the first one. We need to begin to see things from God's perspective, not our perspective. So what do you mean by that, Alan? Well, You talk to most people, they will tell you about their past. They will tell you what they've done. They will tell you what other people have said. And oftentimes, our perspective is built around our history. It's built around our experience. It is built around what other people have said about us. That doesn't necessarily agree with what God has said about us. So when we look at the walls in our life, we go, there's no way I'm going to be able to get past this because, you know, I'm just this and that and this and that. And we don't see ourselves from God's perspective. When I was in high school, I went to a small high school. It was out in the country and where you done did things. And out there, we had, when you were a junior in high school, you had to go talk to the counselor. And everybody would come and talk to the school counselor about what was going on in terms of your future. So you would sit down and they would look at you and they'd say, okay, Alan, you've took pre-college courses or you're going to school. Yeah, you're tested school. Good. We think college is a good course. And so the counselor's job was to kind of point people in the direction. We think you'd be good for college. We think you'd be good for the military or maybe a technical school. A lot of the kids I grew up with were farmers. And so they farmed tobacco and they were raising tobacco around there. So a lot of times they would point them in that direction. So I remember I had a friend who no one thought he could go to college. None of his family had been to college, but he told the counselor. The counselor was trying to steer him another direction. He told the counselor, he said, I'm going to go to college. And he did. And he graduated and he did well. But he had to kind of go against what the counselor was saying. So what if tomorrow morning, let's pay a hypothetical situation. What if tomorrow morning you woke up and there was an angel standing beside your bed? That would be a wake-up. And angel said, I need you to come with me. We have an appointment with the counselor. And so all of a sudden, you're in this beautiful garden. You're sitting there. And then Jesus comes walking around the corner. You wouldn't go, hey, Jesus. You would probably hit the floor. And then when you got back up, you would sit down. And he would pull out your file. He'd say, I'd like to talk to you about your future. See, a lot of times, that'd be the best time. And the best thing for us to do would be to listen. But a lot of times we start talking. Lord, I know in my file it's horrible. I know I have a terrible past. Before I came to you, I was horrible. I did some bad things. I was a really bad man. But then even after I become a Christian, I've been a lousy Christian. I know I don't need to read Project 345. I haven't done all the stuff I need to do. And I know, God, that I hadn't been good to my family, and I yell too much, and I cuss too much, drink way too much. God, I just know I'm just doing too much stuff. And Jesus said, stop. I see from your file that you received me as your Savior in 2005. Yes, sir, I did. I was at the Ark in 2005, and at Easter service, I received you as my Lord and Savior. Well, Jesus said, well, that's wonderful, because before then, I have no record of anything that you have ever done. My blood has just cleansed that record, so that's done. That's washed away. Then he looks at you and smiles and said, now, when I'm looking at your record, what I see is I see someone who's a new creation in me. I see someone who is more than a conqueror because I loved you and you're in relationship with me. I see someone who is blessed and is not cursed. I see someone who is the head, not the tail. I see someone who can do all things because I will strengthen you. I see someone who has huge potential because you're my child and you've been given and you've been made to show forth the praises of me because I've called you out of darkness into my marvelous light. I see a child of light. I see potential here. What's the best thing for you to do? Is go, yes, sir, that's exactly right. That is exactly. Because you're not the God of the obvious. He's the God who sees beyond the obvious. He doesn't just look at the things in your life and go, whoa, you're jacked up. He looks beyond that and go, whoa, in me, you have the potential to do all things. You have the potential to come through. In me, there's nothing that's impossible to you. That's his perspective. You say, Alan, that's awesome. Tomorrow morning, can I expect an angel? No. If it happens, call me. I'd love to hear about it. But no. But here's what you can expect. You can go to his word. And in Psalms 119, 130, it says, the entrance of God's word gives light. You see, when you begin to read and begin to hear what God says about you, you begin to take on a different perspective. And you begin to go, God, you see me differently. He looked at Abraham when he had no kids and said, you're a father of many nations. He looked at Gideon when he was hiding from the enemy and said, you're a mighty man of valor. He looked at a baby born in a manger and said, you're the Savior of the world. God sees the potential. He sees the tree, not the seed. So we need to say, Lord, I need your perspective. And when I get your perspective, these walls can fall. Then we find that here's Joshua's second principle. That when they walked around the city, they walked and walked and didn't appear like anything was happening. Man, that is a great metaphor for us. Because in life, there are some things you're just going to have to walk out. There are some things that you're going to be doing for a while and you're not going to see any results. And you're going to have to be willing just to continue to pursue that. In Hebrews, it says this, Hebrews 10, it says, therefore, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Why does it say that to us, guys? Because if things happened immediately all the time, we wouldn't need endurance. If things happened, if all your prayers just got answered just like that, boom, you wouldn't need endurance. If every time you just praised and the heavens opened up, you wouldn't need endurance. But it says, don't cast away your confidence. That's important. Anyone ever give you a birthday card and then they come back and say, well, did you get the gift card? You're like, what gift card? So, there was a $500 Visa gift card in there. Did you get that? And you're like, no, I threw that card away. You threw what? You threw that $500 Visa gift card away? How many of you know you will go back through the trash and dig through it and put your hand where you would never put your hands because you're going to find that gift card. That gift card, you're thinking, I can make magic with a $500 gift card. That will be fun. That's got a great reward to it. So you, when you get that, you hold on to it. Listen, God's promises to you, God's words to you are more important than a gift card. They're more valuable than a gift card. So there are some things in life you're going to have to keep on praying, keep on praising, keep on giving, keep on tithing, keep on going to church, keep on serving, keep on loving people, keep on forgiving. You just keep on, because every step of obedience you take, you're a step closer to the answer and you honor God. You don't know how close you are. So don't give up. Keep praying. Keep doing these things. Don't cast away your confidence. Say, God, I'm sticking with you. Here's the last one. Joshua's counsel to those warriors was smart. He said, guys, don't say anything till I tell you to shout. It would, one of the best things we can do is just be quiet and stop talking ourselves out of God's blessings until we can begin to speak what God says. Hey, how many of you believe it's time that we stop agreeing with the walls and we start agreeing with God? It's time that we... But hey, listen... And we've all done it. We've all done it. Joy and I have talked about sometimes we've gone to dinner sometimes and we've taken a problem and we've just talked that problem and we talked that problem and we talked that problem. It'll ruin the dinner. You can just talk about your walls. And you're like, I know I got these walls. And people, nobody will argue with you. You say, I've got these fears in my life. I'm just so afraid of this. And I'm scared to death of that. And I'm a nervous wreck. And I'm this. And I'm so depressed. I'm addicted. I can't get over this. And I can't get over that. Most people will just nod their heads at you and go, okay. But listen, we've talked about the walls long enough. The walls are big enough. Why don't we start talking about what God says? If God says, I can come over these things, I can come over these things. Why don't we start agreeing with God and stop agreeing that these walls are going to have the last word in your life? So we begin to say, Lord, if you say I'm more than a conqueror, I don't feel like it. Well, don't talk about how you feel. Feelings can change. Feelings can change. You can feel one day, man, you can come in. You can feel one day like, man, I am on top of the world and God is good and church is awesome. You can come in next week. You're like, I don't even want to be here. I don't even know why I'm here. I just came because I guess I'm supposed to, but dear God. Feelings can change, but God's word doesn't change. And when you begin to agree with him, man, Proverbs says this. It says, Proverbs 18 said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Stop talking about how big your walls are and start talking about, God, you are helping me. Lord, thank you that addiction will not dominate my life. Lord, thank you that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Lord, thank you. I'm dead to sin and alive to God. Thank you. I'm a new creation. What are you doing? You say, Alan, that sounds different. It sounds different because we haven't been trained to speak biblically. We've been trained to speak only what we hear, only what we see, only what the past has told us. But we can talk differently. Joshua said, don't say a word till you shout. A shout was symbolic of victory. when you were shouting, you're like, I win. I win. By the grace of God, I win. In World War II, there was a Scottish soldier called MacDonald and a Scottish chaplain who were shot down behind German lines, and they wound up in a German prisoner of war camp. This camp was divided down the middle. It was a high wire wall, and it was separating the British from the Americans. And they put MacDonald with the Americans, and they put the Scottish chaplain with the Brits. They wouldn't let the two groups mingle together much, very little communication. But every day, MacDonald would walk out of the American camp, and he would talk with the Scottish chaplain who would come from the British camp. What the Germans didn't know was that the Americans had built a homemade radio. And they were getting headlines and finding out what was going on in the war. And so when MacDonald would go out, he would talk to the Scottish chaplain, and they would speak an ancient Gaelic language that the Scottish understood, but the Germans did not. So they would share headlines. And the headlines of what was going on with the war was better than food in a prisoner of war camp. So one day, MacDonald walked to the fence and shared with the Scottish chaplain that the German high command had surrendered and the war was over. And then he watched as the chaplain went back into the British barracks, and all of a sudden there was a roar that just came up from the British barracks. And the British piled out and the Americans piled out. They were laughing. They were singing. They were mocking the German dogs. They were walking around. The guards didn't scare them. They were rejoicing because the war was over. The Germans did not find out until 3 days later that the war was over. And when they found out, they left in the night and left the whole camp open. It was wide open. And so they walked around, walked out of the camp completely free. But can I tell you that they were free before the Germans ever found out? When they heard the word that the war was over and the Germans had surrendered, the war was over for them right then. And whether the Germans knew it or not, they were rejoicing, they were thanking, they were praising, they were just happy because victory had come. Listen, there's a word that can come to you and you find out that Jesus has made you free. He's forgiven you. He's healed you. He's cleansed you. When you find that out, before your wall finds out, you can rejoice going, I know what God said and I know I'm coming through this. And you can rejoice before the walls ever come down, because they're coming down. In Jesus' name, He can help you come through those. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? If you came this morning and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with God. I know that. He knows that. But I want to. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you're here and say, I've been away from God and I want to come back. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're going to say a prayer. Sitting right in your chair. We're not going to ask that you stand up or come to the front, but if that's you, would you just slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? I need to come back to God, or I want Him in my life. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up across the auditorium? Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I see you. Way in the back. Yes, way in the back. Thank you. Great. Thank you for your courage. Anybody else? Great. Wonderful. You can put your hands down now. Thank you. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. That's okay. You can pray this prayer with us. It's a heart prayer. You can pray it right out of your heart. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. This is a powerful prayer. This is a prayer that this is a wall-busting prayer, a prayer to receive Jesus as Lord. So pray this with us out loud. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.